Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show. This is the Creative Mind series, and I have Dr. Denise Berger back. She's an advisor and educator, and she focuses on organizational leadership and effectiveness, corporate social responsibility, and talent development. Her bio will be in the link. She's been on so many different shows. She and I have already experienced lots of grit today in doing this show. This is actually our second time of recording and our 55 minutes into tech solving. So Dr. Denise, thank you for your grit today.
Ah, you're welcome. Thank you too. You were tenacious as well.
Yeah. So you know what? We are going to put links to our other shows, but I think you and I, we wanted to do like a mid-year review of what we're both doing, but we wanted to sort of share when we look at what each of our individual core values are personally and in corporate America, what that looks like. So this is like part three of intentional investment integrity. And I think, you know, I talk about awareness, self-love, and altruism as fundamentals for mental, spiritual, and physical health. And that really applies to corporate America and to our own entrepreneurial growth.
100%. Yes, you are absolutely right. Everyone has a responsibility to play a part in a healthy society.
Absolutely. And so I am really excited to hear from you and kind of what your journey's been since we last did a show. I mean, you've been really kind of, would you say, having the highest level of integrity of doing deep dives on like almost like all the karmic seeds you've put into motion?
I would say that I am trying to be very discerning and mindful of how I spend my time, where I spend my time, and making sure that it is that my contribution is valued by those that have brought me in or asked me to participate in you know in a project, so that A, I'm not being taken for granted, and B, I'm not wasting people's time and they're not wasting mine.
I love that. I actually went into July, not only with a kind of a playful little kick in my step because I finally went on a vacation and got on a plane and went to Maui, but then I wanted to take a look. I think it's really good to look at, you know, how am I as a mother? How am I as a doctor? How am I as a producer? Am I doing what I want to? And to me, I wanted to revisit all the people that I had possibilities with sort of taking it to the next level. But looking at their communication and their core values were in alignment at this moment in time. And I like to also, one of my goals in working with people, there are times when there's just either pink flags or red flags. And you're like, no, I'm done. I can no longer work with that person. That's like a whole other show. But for me, this show, for me, my own review, I feel like I didn't even know you were doing that. We were doing the same thing. And I literally wrote people's name. My process included taking inventory, writing names down, making calls, following through on everything and seeing where people are at with their, you know, their health, their personal life. There's been things we started to do in the last year and a half where then someone had COVID or then someone was traveling out of the country. And so I did a really nice refresher and I have clarity. I mean, I feel really clear. And part of my clarity is how much I love working with you. So I just want to say thank you.
Oh, that is so sweet. I really enjoy working with you too. I think we have great conversations and we explore some really meaty subjects like integrity and intentionality. I mean, those are not necessarily quantifiable subjects to discuss. Always the quantifiable is much easier. You know, you have either the data or you don't, and the data says this or it doesn't. With integrity and intentionality, it is qualitative, right? So there's a lot more nuances to it.
Yeah. So you are teaching at Pepperdine, and has it been 8 years now at the graduate level?
I am going into my 8th year. Yes.
Yes. So when I hear you speak, and I did review a couple of other shows, one of the things that you talked about is your core values.
Yes.
And your core values, I love it. You've said in another show that you don't want to dilute, you want to have real clarity. Can you just for everyone sort of list your core values? And I want to jump in. I've got an idea.
Sure. I have five core values. They are learning, well-being, connection, responsibility, and our favorite, fun.
Yay, deep loop. Been talking about that all year. Yeah. So in my mid-year assessment, and it sounds like you've been doing this, I have my own personal integrity is if my name is associated with an organization or with a co-creation with someone, I like to actually be showing up and doing the work. I am not someone who likes a CV or your resume where it just has a bunch of fancy titles, but you're not actually doing anything. And so part of my mid-year review, and I've done this in the spring as well, is to look at if I have this position or title, number one, are they really utilizing me? Number two, is the organization in a place where they have the capital to really go the next level so that they can actually utilize me or I can actually be functional? Number three, if my name is associated with any one person or an organization, I have to make sure that their core values add up, because if they are having fiduciary responsibilities with other people and then I don't have that to anyone, I don't want to put myself in jeopardy by being affiliated with someone that's maybe I don't have transparency. So can you speak on this in your sort of vetting situations and how you spend your time and how you would advise others?
Well, first of all, I could not agree more emphatically with protecting your, what I call your personal brand, right? So,
yes.
And who you associate with does affect your personal brand. And I will tell you this, 30 years ago, I stopped having a relationship with my father, and it was obviously a very difficult decision, but his lack of integrity, I could not support because it impacted how I felt about myself and my sense of right or wrong and my no-go zones. And so I had to make the very difficult decision to not have a relationship with him on that basis. That's, one of the...
Can I just say, wow. Yeah. I had no idea you were going to bring that up here, but I love that you did, because to me, that's being super vulnerable, because we're not just talking the corporate world. We're talking about the integration. And I know, you believe in the concept of energy, consciousness, and the soul. So if we're working, whether it's in a family unit or in our incubator teams in business, it really affects our mental, spiritual, and physical health. So I think there's times when we give people so many chances. And I have to tell you, one of my things for 2022, I actually got myself, I had the fuck button, but then I have the bullshit button. I'll have to get you one. And I literally told myself no bullshit in 2022.
Yep.
No bullshit. I'm done. I'm not having it. I don't need to give people a million chances. And it felt
That's
really good,
because I have been the same way in 2022. Like, who has time for bullshit, right? Like, we don't have time. We're on this planet Earth for, if we're lucky, 80 plus years, if we're lucky,
yes.
Right? So who has time for BS? Now,
can I just hit the button once?
Yeah.
Okay. So just so you know, I like to have playful props when I'm going to stick with anything, everyone. I have like this multidimensional playful way so that I don't have this like angry edge about me with the no BS. It's what I call mindful profanity. And I like to use profanity to serve a purpose. And it's fun. It's fun to just get it out. I just had two shows ago where my son use profanity. He was allowed to use one time profanity in the show, but he used it in a way that I don't agree with. Our core values, you don't swear at people. You can use profanity in a way. By the way, everyone, if you want to swear at people, go for it. I'm just telling you my core values of mindful profanity. So the power of words, thoughts, and actions, and back to your father. I want to make sure we get back. That's such a personal share. But to me, the fact that you broke the tie at that level, you were thinking about integrity.
Oh,
in such a primal way going into corporate America.
Yep. No, literally the word integrity was in my head making that decision. Like, I can't sacrifice my own integrity for anyone. I know that, we get sometimes stuck in the paradigm of like, well, this is family. You should do anything and everything for family. No, just because you were born into these people doesn't make you beholden to terrible values of theirs. You know, that family has to earn trust just as much as anyone else.
So Denise, can we, now that you just did that share, can we discuss a framework where there's a time, without naming names, where it was maybe, whether it's a charity or an organization, where maybe you kind of reached your time limit? It doesn't mean that the time with them didn't serve a purpose, just like I'm sure there's times way back and there's things that your dad did do right. Just like when we're serving in an advisory position or we're working with incubator teams, can you come up with a graceful way that you maybe graceful, and then maybe there could be a not so graceful example if you're okay with that. And if I'm putting you too much on the hot seat, I could do it too. Cause I think when you're listening to shows like this, it's neat to give examples because then people can relate. Of course, people can relate to cutting off a family member, but yeah. I'm wondering if we could break it down for one of these advisory positions or how we're both zooming in our mid-year review.
I think it's really about being transparent and clear. So if you have laid out the work that you're doing, and you feel like you're banging your head against the wall because it's not sinking in, or it's not, or people are yesing you. I think that's a sign when people yes you, but their actions don't match their words.
Yes.
Then it's your choice, right? It's your choice to continue under that path. And a lot of people choose to, and sometimes you don't even really have like a real 50-50 choice because let's say you're dependent on the money or something like that. And I get that. And that's a factor in there, but let's strip that aside for a minute and assume that you have the choice whether or not to continue with this mismatched situation. You lay down this is the no fly zone kind of thing.
Correct. And also I want to tell you, in one of the other shows we did, you talked about the power of context, that a lot of times people are hiding behind their electronics. They're doing these text messages or their emails. And I think by the nature of the pandemic that we've all been going through, we've done more Zooms, we've done calls. And I think that eye contact, I'm not saying every meeting needs to be in person, but I believe when you're having a miscommunication, that a face-to-face or a Zoom, not on just audio where people can be having their attention issues, I am really all about reverent relationships. And if you have a misunderstanding, I like to really tell the person and spell it out and then listen to their perspective before I part ways, or say, not right now. It's kind of like, when you're deciding, okay, I've decided to indulge in a little dessert this week, but now at this meal, I'm going to just push away gracefully from the table. There's different ways we push away or redirect in relationships. So I have an example in my practice of how I help someone, but I'm wondering if this is resonating with you, this kind of communication infrastructure to give someone.
Yeah. I really latched on to the not right now point that you raised, because people do come to me and just going, I'm going to use the same example, my father, that people do come to me and say, you know, I'm really struggling with a family member. And how did you, you know, end the relationship? And I said, I don't recommend ending anything. I recommend pulling away for now, because you don't know what's going to happen in a year, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years. You have to continuously assess the situation. People change, the context changes. So I never recommend to, you know, I think there's a James Bond movie named after this, Never Say Never or something like that. So
can I just tag off that? You know, when you're talking about this, I like the concept of we have an awareness, then we're doing our mid-year review and we're looking at what our goals are. Like, do we want to work on this project with someone, or how much time do I actually have? Sometimes the projects are so sacred, and I feel that way with you with something that we started years back that can be for another show, but there's the right time too. So I'm hearing the awareness is step one. And then step two is looking at an individual and another individual or another corporation and saying, do the core values match up, where it's a match where I want to work with them now or later, yes or no? And maybe it could be in your mind, you're like, whoa, they really had so many pink flags, but maybe they're going through something. Maybe they're going to grow up personally in a couple of years and I'll be open to giving them a chance. So there's like this awareness and there's the assessment of core value matchup. And is this the right time to do business now? I had a meeting with someone where I knew their neurostyle from listening to them and their very entertaining Instagram posts, John Sarasani. And he was on the Champion Mindset series, part one and two. I think you'd love to listen to it. But I knew his neurostyle business-wise, I didn't want to tell him what we were going to talk about in the show or ideas I have for 6 months out, because I wanted to be in the moment of now and enjoy and also see what he brought to the table so that we're truly co-creating. I didn't want to go into the phone meeting before or the interview. I wanted to have a framework of what I wanted to do, but I didn't want to be attached to the outcome, because sometimes you go into a meeting and someone else has this entrepreneurial idea or something else exciting. So sometimes it's such a match, but you've got to enjoy the process of the integrity of working together as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there's, well, I was going to say something else too. I think there's two parts to all of this. The one part is assessing somebody else according to, you know, according to honoring your values. Yes. And the other part of it, though, is really working on yourself.
Yes.
Because inevitably, I know you like to say this, we live on, you know, on Earth and planet Earth. And
the Earth ride.
The Earth vibe, yeah.
And the Earth game.
Yeah. And so, you know, we can't go around like with a finger pointed at everybody, like, you don't match my values. You don't match my values. You don't match my values, right? Like, that can get very arrogant and that can get very toxic in and of itself. We have to also learn how to work with many different dynamics in this world. And so you have to do your inner work. Like there are programs, like I'm a coach for positive intelligence, and it teaches you mental fitness. Everyone, it's incumbent upon everyone to find a program, find a person, find a group or something that enables you to develop your mental fitness, your own mental fitness, and be really true to your own vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And not push them under the rug.
Absolutely. Can I give you a really tangible example? I think it's really neat. Sometimes people have such different ways about going about their outcome, and their outcome to me, I like to say it's all divinely fucked up perfect. Mm-hmm. I just walked away from re-vetting something, but I have to tell you, their business model's ruthless. And mm-hmm. I was actually grateful that they told me some of the things they did. because what if they would have told, they've had lies of omission in the past, but in this particular meeting, they were so ruthless. And the way they wanted to go about reaching the masses, I know it's going to work, but it's not in alignment with my Dr. Denise brand, because I said, I'm a practicing MD. I am not going to be some professionals have used their credentials, and I feel like they're just all about selling snake oil. And right. I have protected my brand for 7 years. I've said no to more things than anyone could imagine. And I let this person know, I really respect your business idea or the way you're doing it. And I'm not going to use names. I used different styles. I'm like, these people and the way they've reached the masses has worked, because the masses are at that frequency where they maybe want fear. They want to cut someone up or be disrespectful, because I think the vibrational frequency of humanity is in such a hateful place. And so my brand and my message, it doesn't mean I don't have edge or I don't know how to hand someone their ass on the platter, because boy, do I do. And when I do, everyone's afraid. They're like, oh my God, Denise wants to have a meeting, because I'm like so nice. But when I get to a point where I'm like, fuck you.
Yes.
Everyone's afraid. And I just want you to know, I have that in me. If I wanted to do a show where I just roasted people, unfortunately, my brand would have grown faster.
Yeah.
But I made the decision not to do that. It doesn't mean I don't want to integrate that edgy part of who I am into some of my content, because I think it's going to be needed to reach more people. Yeah. I can't be like, oh, forgive everyone all the time. No, there's times when you have to be a total warrior spirit. So there's nothing wrong with that. But I literally, the way I also left it open with this person is I put tangible linear asks. If we're going to work together, it would need to be, we need to co-do this. We need to have transparency. I would want a contract. I wish you the best. I think you've got a great idea. It's not the same as mine. I wrote clear, neutral, you do you, I do me. And I really want them to be successful. And I think the way they're going to do it will probably end up reaching more people faster, but it's just not in my integrity. Does that mean they're wrong? No. They have their own way of doing planet Earth, and it just isn't right now. But I care so much about any communication I've had with that person that I'm still open in the future. But boy, am I aware that they can be ruthless. I haven't looked at them and said, are you going to sue me? I literally just looked at them and said, I mean, I didn't hold back at this meeting. And I have another meeting coming up where I know I want to work with these individuals, but it's a fiduciary conflict based on all the ways the introductions are going. And it's also now a conflict for another platform I'm vetting. So instead of closing the door, I'm going to just have transparent face-to-face communication with this man who's very brilliant, who I want to do work with, but it's just not right now. And it's going to protect them and me for me to step away from this position so that they can follow their own fiduciary responsibility to investors. And then I have to make sure with another organization that I know I have information on that someone else doesn't, I have to protect that. So going into this other meeting, I'm letting that person know I am not mentioning this to this person. So does this kind of communication style resonate with you, Dr. D?
Well, for sure. I mean, I borrow your tagline all the time. Don't fuck with my kindness. So I feel like,
by the way, I'm going to have merchandise on that. I actually have all the logos done. So keep going. Okay, everyone, don't fuck with my kindness.
Yes, for sure. I will buy your first merchandise.
No, we're probably going to do something together, like an event. That's what I see. So keep going. A don't fuck with my kindness event.
I feel like, personally, I think especially when you have higher education, and that can be, you know, at the at the undergrad level, graduate level, doctoral level, whatever it is, you should know better. You should begin to know better. You should, and by the way, there's plenty of people who don't have even an undergrad degree, who know better than people who have a doctorate degree, right?
Correct. By the way, my son has a business mind at age 13, even though he's been having troubles in school. He is a boss. He knows, he's like, are we going to get paid for this? What's going on? Is someone else going to use you? I mean, so we also want to, you and I both agree that even though there's earth degrees, you have a PhD, you have an MD, we know that people are brilliant without the degrees as well, but we're still on planet Earth, where if I have an MD, I have licensure. So there's different Earth rules exactly. We have to follow.
That's exactly what I mean. And, you know, we've had specific courses on ethics and integrity and morality and everything. And we've explored the spectrum of what that looks like. We have a responsibility to act and behave in a certain way, right? With great power comes great responsibility. And so I think that it's also important that we move through the world in a way that's exemplary, and that yes. We also, in spaces where we're teachers or leaders, that we are actually talking about these subjects to others and spreading what higher consciousness looks like.
And I think sometimes these days people, when they say the word consciousness or mindful, words are so overused, everyone. So I think depending on your target audience, I believe in consciousness, but maybe someone's just like integrity, moral code. So when you're listening to a podcast or you're in a business meeting, you know, remember, this is something on my other series, but I always talk about neurostyle, that we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. So when you go into a business meeting or a talk with a Dr. D or a Dr. Denise or a John Sarasani, or let's say a Joe Rogan or Brene Brown, people are going to have different word vernacular, and different people have more of a realization that their words carry a vibrational frequency. And I know then people are like, oh, go frequency, frequency. Some people are like, no, you're either an ass or you're not an ass. So, I think you have to know your audience. Wouldn't you agree?
You have to know your audience. And, you know, I hate to say it, but there are just plain and simple assholes out there. Having said that, maybe at the core they're not, and there's just so many layers that they've built around their core that have created it. But to break down all those layers is like, you know, they would need a life-changing moment to crack the concrete around their core.
Can I give you another example? Someone I think would want to work with me, and I do want to work with them. And this has to do like with, you know, reaching more people. But I said to them, you are standalone hilarious. You are so funny that I think you should go and do your own show to start. It doesn't mean I don't want to work with you or co-host, because the person's like, everyone's wanting to co-host with me. I'm like, well, why wouldn't they? You are hilarious. Mm. But you should protect your name, your brand, because even though you have a certain net worth, now you're going out and doing a podcast, or you're on television, and you should get to know your own brand or your own mission, and then strategically work with different people. So a lot of people would have been like, what? You didn't jump on saying, I want to work with you right away. But I said to them, I have a really cool idea that I've always had that I'd want to do with you later. And I gave them a little teaser as to what it was. I'm like, yeah, but I was protective of them. Because I also want individuals to win. I'm not, and by the way, that could be one of my absolute strengths, but also one of my weaknesses. Because I'm always looking at how can someone else have their own thrive? I have my thrive, and then we come together, 1 + 1 is infinite. A lot of times in different generational overlay, whether it's your age or your soul age, people are so cutthroat. They're like, whoa, you should have snatched up the minute they hinted at that. You might have shut the door, but I did not. I elevated them. And then what I did is I wrote an outline, because they'd asked me a bunch of questions, and I gave them all the data to help them. I told them, do this. And then the last thing I said was, remember, I do absolutely want to work with you. I just think it'll be in a couple months, because you've got to go knock it out of the park. And so I just love having relationships where I want someone to protect me, and I want to protect them, because that's a big part of in investment, intentional integrity.
I think actually one of the indicators of integrity is how much a person wants to truly see another person or team or organization achieve their full potential.
Yes.
And support that.
Yes.
And then the decisions trickle from there, right? The
decisions,
like, does it make sense for you to work with me at this point? Or does it make sense for you to go and explore X, Y, and Z? And then we can talk later. That is an indicator of integrity.
Yes.
And you and I are in the business of developing people's full potential. So it's that we would care about what is best for the other person while at the same time making sure that we're always living into our values.
Yeah. And I think maybe right here at the 30-minute mark where we're about to end is that I want to also introduce another mindful profanity. There's a triad of mindful profanity phrases I love. And you've already said the don't fuck with my kindness. So I've got two other phrases, but the other ones is it's all divinely fucked up perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And unfuckwithable, mm-hmm. Be unfuckwithable. And what that means for me personally is when you go deep and your heart energy grows stronger after the unimaginable. So there might be times in the corporate world or in the family world where people didn't match up, but you've decided to, like you said, go deep, grow into your, like with your personal development.
Yeah.
Have an awareness, have greater self-love, and then grow. So you grow in these tough times. So you have this warrior spirit.
And grow others. And be growing others.
Yes, 1,000%. And that goes with the core things I like to talk about, which are awareness, self-love, and altruism, that when individuals thrive, we all thrive. So before we wrap up, is there anything that you wanted to tie up that like loose ends of anything we discussed today? You've mentioned quite a few concepts, and I want to make sure you get a chance to do that before we wrap up.
I just want to thank you for putting these subjects out in the world, and I hope that they inspire people to be their personal best and to develop themselves, practice courtesy in the world, give dignity to those around them, think before they act, act with intention, walk the talk. Their actions match their words, that they have core values and that they know what their no-fly zones are.
I love the no-fly zone. I would like to sort of end with, let's do the next time we get together, let's do a really fun show called the No-Fly Zone.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Okay, great. Okay. Dr. Denise Berger, Dr. D, where can everyone find you?
Oh, I can be found at deniseberger.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter under Winning View. And Facebook, Instagram, all those good things.
Yay. We did it. Okay, everyone, have a great day and make sure you're attracting your tribe and you are kind of looking in the mirror at yourself first. That's one of the big take home points. And okay, have a great rest of the summer, everyone. Thanks, Dr. D.
Thank you.